I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we have a special guest back on For the Girls, my best friend, Allie. And yes, this episode is early. It's meant to be released on Monday coming up, but we couldn't wait. So you girls are getting it a few days before on Friday. So Allie was on the show back in May on my episode titled Girl Chat, Spill the Tea Stories, Love Languages, and UTIs. Now, was tea spilled in that episode? Yes. Yes, it was. But if you can put two and two together from the title of this episode, then you already know the tea on this one is much, much hotter. I'm going to let Allie make the formal announcement in the interview because this is her moment, but let's just say this is my most raw and real episode to date. Allie shares the unspoken reality of unplanned and unexpected pregnancies when you don't even know if you ever want to have kids, or when you think you're sure that you never want to. The things talked about in this conversation are definitely considered to be taboo on the topic, but it just makes you appreciate the vulnerability of this conversation that much more because it just goes to show that not everyone's situation is rainbows and butterflies. But Allie is so strong in her faith, and that's exactly what this is, a story of faith and trusting in divine timing. And I am completely honored to be the one who gets to share that story with her. So let's get into it. Okay. Allie. Welcome back to For the Girls.
I'm back.
Are you excited?
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm excited because this is so different than what we did last time. And it's like two totally different experiences.
I mean, quite literally. And it's funny because the last time that you came on in May, the episode is Girl Chat. We said we were going to have you back on for another episode. We were like, we got to do this again. You got to come back. And here we are, one sooner than you thought, and two for a different topic than we thought as well.
Yeah, we were going to expose the girls. We were going to expose the girls in their horror. I literally set my Hinge to be a prompt for this, and somehow we ended up here.
And now you're not even on Hinge.
No, Hinge is gone forever.
How life has changed in literally 2 months. Wow. That is, and you know what? We have all the receipts. We have all the proof. Like, we literally have everything that there is to have in regards to like looking back on this journey. And speaking of that, first things first, I actually want to play something for you.
Yeah, I don't really know. The whole concept of pushing a child out is so painful to me. Like, I get weak in the knees, and I don't get weak in the knees about anything else.
That is my one and only fear of, like, you know, I want a bajillion children, and like, yeah. I feel like in my head, I'm like, I would love to have literally 3 or 4 kids. However, I do have a little bit of a fear of pushing them out.
I mean, a lot of people say it's beautiful. Yeah, I'm sure it's beautiful, but I don't see it as beautiful for myself. Like, I love that you brought life into this world, but you're shitting on the table. You are literally spewing out blood, I think. And then you have a slimy human that just crawled out of your stomach. Like, yeah. That is the craziest shit ever.
You know what? I have an episode. I had a guest come on and she talked about having like a wonderful birth experience.
Well, I'm definitely going to need to listen to that if I ever decide I want children.
That episode came out on May 1st. And here we are today. And why don't you at least make the formal announcement? Why don't you just say the thing?
Yeah, okay. Well, 23 days after we shared that episode, I got pregnant. I am carrying a small child that is, I think, almost 2 inches large.
Holy shit. And aside from the episode, because you know me, I have to like pull out all the receipts. I went into our DMs and on June 10th, I sent you a meme that said, when I see a 28-year-old with a baby, I'm like, wow, respect to these teen parents. And you were like, LMFAO, seriously.
It was so far out of reach for me. Like I genuinely, up until when I got pregnant, I didn't know I was pregnant for like weeks. And during those first few weeks, I'm looking back and I remember having different conversations around children. And I remember saying, you know what, maybe I do want kids. Well, there was already a child inside me. So I'm sure like hormones were changing and my body was telling me things without me even realizing. But before that, it was like a hard no. I've always said since I was little, I don't want kids. Like I don't want kids. I don't want to care for them. I've never held a baby. That's how much I did not want kids. I don't look at kids and think, oh my God, you're so precious. Well, yes, they're beautiful, but like I've never once had baby fever. I don't even know what baby fever means. Like, do you look at a baby, get a fever and are like, yeah, I want that baby right now. Like, no, there's never been that desire. I feel like I have no maternal instincts. Like I have my dog and my cat that I love, like as if they were human beings. And I'm sure I will love this baby, but I still can't see myself as being a mother because I feel like I'm 12.
I know. But I do give you credit because I've seen your change of heart happen naturally. And I know you still say, you know, that you're still scared and that maybe you don't believe that you naturally have a maternal instinct and that you never had that baby fever that everybody always talks about. But they always say like, great, now I am going to butcher it. I'm like, they always say that, here I go butchering a quote, but they're like, God doesn't call the prepared. He prepares the call. I fucked it up.
God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called.
Okay. There we go. That's the one. So with that being said, I do think that you are, you know, stepping into that like qualified, you know, and who am I to say what's qualification or not, but it's more just like, I'm seeing that natural progression, that change of heart, and it's genuine. And like, we'll get into all that. We'll talk about that. But like you said, you never even held a baby. You had this mindset of like not wanting to have kids. Why was that? Was there like a reason? Did you have like, whether it be a trauma or an experience, or was it just something that you felt like you weren't capable of doing?
I don't think I thought I wasn't capable. I think I'm a very selfish person and I love living how I want. Like when I want to take a nap, I want to take a nap. When I want to eat, I want to eat. Like I'm not someone who ever revolves my schedule around anybody. And I do what I want when I want to. I've always been this way. And I just can't wrap my brain around not being able to do what I want when I want for the next probably 18 years. And that scares the crap out of me. But I've also always had this missing piece of me that's always searching for something bigger than me and always searching for a bigger purpose in life. And I just now feel like God's like, this is your purpose. Like your purpose is to be a mother. It's to learn how to not be selfish and to live for someone else. Cause I've never done that before. I would like to think I'm a good friend and I'm there for my people and I do what I can for my people. But at the same time, it's also my day to day solely revolves around me and that's it.
Yeah. But you see what you're saying right now, I think is so important for girls to hear, because it's okay that like, this happens. Like, I think people see on social media, or they see just like from their families and whatnot, that like being pregnant is quite often something that comes after marriage, or at least after like an engagement or a long-term serious relationship. And we'll talk about your relationship as well, and we'll get into all that more toward the end. But usually childbirth is something that's for the most part planned for or wanted. If not planned for, it's like, you know what? I really want kids anyway, so why not get started? And no one's really online saying the truth of like, this was so unexpected and not even sure if I even wanted to ever have kids. Like, it's such a taboo thing to say. I feel like automatically, as soon as someone gets pregnant, we jump right into being like, but it's a blessing and it's a good thing. And like, that's true. It is a blessing. And I know you're going to be a good mother. And I know that this is going to be the best change like of your life. I know that this is now something that you're excited about and now something that you want, but it is normal at the same time to also be scared as fuck and to be like, now what? Like, my whole life goes from napping at 12 o'clock in the afternoon to now being exhausted and whatnot. And I would say that that's a real thing that goes on in a lot of women and girls' minds, but they feel shame to say that. They feel like they can't express that.
Yeah. And that's never going to be who I am. I am going to be so completely honest during this entire thing, because I don't think there's enough of it. I don't think for someone like me to get pregnant, who was already terrified of ever having kids, getting pregnant, there's no one out there who's honest about being fearful. Everyone's like, oh, it's a beautiful thing. Like, motherhood is amazing. It's beautiful. Your kids are the best thing that ever happened to you. No one's out here like, no, like, I actually had to grieve and I had to feel like my world was ending and I still don't know if it's going to be okay. Like, I spent the last 2 months, 2.5 months crying, looking back on old pictures, like genuinely grieving the old person that I was, because I know that's not who I can continue to be anymore if I want to be a good mother, my standard of a good mother, not anyone else's. But I just had this overwhelming sense of like dying almost. Like, I felt like I died. And that sounds so dramatic, but it seriously is something that people probably go through and just don't talk about because they feel like it's wrong to talk about it. Yeah, I was literally talking about having a funeral for myself. Like, that's how deeply like sad I was, and trying to figure out a way to like cope with it.
Wow, I didn't even think about it like that. It's literally like mourning the loss of the version of you that you know. And I think, even speaking for myself, a lot of women in general are really like longing for a kid and really want to have kids. You know that about me. And there, I would say so many women, millions of women out there are like really trying to get pregnant, wanting to become a mother, and for whatever reasons that they're not able to at the moment. And you still don't realize, even no matter how badly you want it, you still are actually getting rid of like a version of your life, because that's it. Like, you can't, not to say that you can't still be yourself, but you can't be that selfish, youthful, young version of yourself that's allowed to just go out and party and like do whatever, pick up and travel. Look at you. You have moved 500 times. You travel a lot. You're, like you said, you just can live life for you. And even someone who desperately wants a kid is still going to one day like look back, like you said, on those old pictures and kind of mourn a loss of a version of them that stopped existing once they were pregnant.
It's the craziest experience ever. And speaking of people who desperately want kids and maybe are like trying and just not having the luck, that was a huge part of my mourning process, because I felt so guilty. Mm-hmm. I was like, how is someone like me, who's so unprepared, so uneducated, someone who has always said they didn't want kids, how do I get chosen to be a mother when there are so many women out there that are in pain and crying every single day because all they want, all they're praying for is a child, and I'm over here crying because I have a child? Like, it's such a crazy thing to process. especially when you are surrounded by people who you personally know who can't get pregnant right now. And it's a emotional thing for both ends, I guess, but the guilt was like eating me alive for a minute. And I just had to like remain in my faith and be like, God chose me for a reason. And I just have to lean into that and know that I can't feel guilty because I didn't choose this.
Yeah, no, I mean, and you would never take from someone, like, I know you'd be like, you have it. this is all you, like, I'm good. You can have it. So if it were that type of situation where it's like the last chip in the bag and you're like, no, trust me, you have the chip. Like, I don't want it. If it were that simple, I think that's what you would do. And I know that you did feel like you had a lot of emotions, and going to your original reaction, well, at least I was the next day, I will say, maybe I wasn't your exact original reaction, but the next day when you called me, I will never forget that. So first of all, I want to say, I just would like to go on the record here as the best friend I knew it. You texted me at 9 a.m. Are you awake? And I'm like, this bitch is pregnant. So I said, yes, obviously. And you were like, FaceTime me when you can sit down. And naturally, because I did just wake up, I was on the toilet. So I was sitting down. So I FaceTimed you on the toilet in that exact moment. As soon as I looked at your face, what did I say?
You're pregnant.
I looked at your face. I said, bitch, you're pregnant. And you just started bawling. Like, you started bawling. I don't think I spoke for like a minute. Like, I say, oh my God, I don't even remember, because I feel like we both kind of blacked out. But at the same time, I do remember every single detail. Like, I just remember us sitting there in silence, you crying. And I actually even remember that you sent me a video of that you took when you did literally find out in the moment, and you were legit hyperventilating with the test in your hand, like actually freaking out in the exact moment. So it was a lot. Walk us through this, the finding out process, because I think that going into taking the test, you were confident that it was negative, but you were taking it to like make sure, but you were like expecting to see a no, or a negative rather. So then when you see a positive, what were you thinking from there?
I think it took 30 seconds to process, because it was the darkest positive I have ever seen in my life. And it happened within 20 seconds. So I remember being in my bathroom, I dropped to the floor and I was just like literally screaming, no. I was like, no, 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 no. Like, this could not be happening. No, I can't do this. And I remember being on my hands and knees on the floor praying like, God, if this is a false positive, I will be celibate. I will do anything. I will never sin again. I will give my life to you and never question it. I was in tears, hysterically crying, got in my car, went to CVS in my pajamas, hysterically crying, running through the aisles, grabbing a bunch of pregnancy tests, going home. I took every single one back to back to back to back, all positive, all within 2 seconds. So at that point, I was like, my life is over. And that was my initial thought. Went to my friend's house down the street, because I took a test because we were going to have a wine night. And I was like, something's not right. I just need to make sure. So I get there, I pull out the positive test, I break down again. And in all honesty, I said, will you come with me to get an abortion in the morning? And why am I gonna cry? I just was so scared. And this was never part of my plan. Like, my plan was to be single and it was to travel and live my life. And I just had moved to Tampa. I just got my first apartment by myself for the first time. And I just watched every plan I had kind of go out the window, and the mix of emotions like wouldn't stop. So then she has a child, the person's house I went to, and she honestly was the best place I could have gone in the moment. And she's like, no matter what, I'll support you. And this was every one of my best friend's reactions was, I'm here for you no matter what. But I don't believe in abortion. I've always said, if I got pregnant, I wouldn't get an abortion. I would trust God's plan. So in that moment, it was the most conflicting feeling I've ever had, because I had two choices. I had what I think is the moral thing to do, and I had the selfish thing that I've always done, choose myself over anything else. And I just had to sleep on it, honestly, because I called one of my best friends and I was like, can you please come here? Can you fly here tomorrow? She booked the flight. She got here the next day. She was fully expecting to land and go to an abortion clinic. And I picked her up and I was like, I can't do it. I'm keeping the baby and I'm going to make it work. And I think this has a lot to do with praying about it. And I'll get personal again, not that this isn't personal, but my mom was adopted and my dad literally breaks down and cries over the thought that her birth mom could have gotten an abortion because she was really, really, really young. And that would have been the easier route, right? And she didn't. And she instead gave my mom up for adoption. My dad cries over it every time he thinks about it. So that was in the back of my mind also. And I just was like, I can't go through with it. I don't know how I would ever live with myself. And I understand that there are thousands and thousands of women that choose to do that. And I have no judgment against that at all. Like, I personally know friends who have done it and it's everyone's personal choice, but I just don't believe that I would be able to live the rest of my life knowing. And my first sonogram, I was like, holy shit, I am so happy that I decided to stick this out, no matter how scared I am, no matter how much I feel like my life is ending. I'm able to bring life into this world, and it is the craziest thing ever. But it took me a few days to even process that I was keeping the baby, because there was a full 24 hours where I was like, no, I don't want this. I'm not doing it. But I woke up the next day and I was like, no, I already love this baby and I don't know how, but it's not going anywhere.
Wow. First of all, full body chills. My eyes were like welling up with tears. It's so crazy when you put it out there saying, I have two choices, and that's to go with this and to change my life in the way that God is calling me, or to do what I've always done, get the same result I've always done, do the selfish thing I've always done, put myself first like I've always done. And, you know, nothing changes because I'm not doing anything for anybody else. I just stay the same way. I just stay exactly the way I always am. And when you really put it out there, like, that's the difference between having the baby and having the abortion. It's like a mind-blowing thing of like, wow, that's so, it's such a, I don't know if like a metaphor or whatever it might be, but when you look at it like that, that really paints an insane picture to me of like the two choices that you had in front of you. I almost felt like I could physically see it, like choosing it. Like I could physically see you like selecting it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's actually how I felt, because I was playing both out in my brain. Like I was picturing a life with a baby and raising a child and being a mother. And I was also picturing my life on the other side of it. And all I saw was partying and doing the things that I've always done. I'm like, that's not fulfilling me now. It's not going to fulfill me in a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, but bringing life into this world. And as much as I never thought I would ever want it, that is 1,000 times more fulfilling than living a life of emptiness and like meeting random guys and going out to the bars, because that really is the life I'm giving up. I have no real responsibilities. I have no real anyone to answer to. And when I really took a step back and took my emotions out of it, it was the most logical thing for me to do, simply because if I'm not fulfilled now in my life, why would I continue down the path that's leading me essentially nowhere of significance?
Yeah. And I do remember when you called me that morning, and, you know, when I think abortion was still a little bit of an option, and I said the same, exactly what you just said. Like, I said the same thing, like, you know, would I do it? no, and it's easy to say no because I'm not in those shoes, but knowing the position that you were in, it does start to make you almost like question your morals or almost start to step back and see from a different perspective of like, now I kind of get like, I kind of get why it really is an option, because when you feel that hopeless and helpless, it's very scary to be like, well, I have no choice and I have to go through this. I have no choice. And of course, while I agree and support your decision to have not gone that route, I think I would have supported that decision either way, because you really don't realize until you're in that situation that like sometimes people feel like they can't go that route. They don't have that choice. And I know we did talk in that phone call, I feel like we talked about literally everything so quickly. And I remember bringing up like finances and talking about that. And like, I think some people look at it even just from that lens, forget the going out, forget drinking or partying or guys and singleness, forget any of that. It becomes a huge financial responsibility that some people are not financially prepared for. And I just remember talking through every single thing with you. And in that moment, you really do start to step back and peel back that lens and be like, you know what? Maybe I should, maybe, you know, but it was only a few short hours after that, that something changed. And after we FaceTimed, I texted you. So like in that afternoon, I texted you, how are you doing? And I just remember you responded that you just spoke to your parents and you just told your parents, because they didn't know when we first spoke. And you were like, and now I feel so much better. Like, I feel excited. I feel good because I'm so supported. Like my parents, you know, it's a shock and they're freaked out a little bit, but they're also really supportive and they're with me, you know, along the way. How did your mindset officially change? You were starting to say, you know what, I'm going to keep it, but of course you were still scared. So after speaking to your parents, what was that like? What was that support like? Like, how important was that in your decision of like, you know, I'm ready for this?
My parents have always been such a huge influence in my life. So every decision I make, I at 25, I'm still like kind of looking for validation from them. So I called my mom, and after her almost fainting, she was like, we'll do whatever it takes. Like, you can come home, we'll figure it out. And my dad was immediately excited. So it took probably a few days for it to process for everybody, but just hearing them be like, you know, we'll support you, we have your back, you always have us, you know, that just made me a little bit more confident, because I, not that I was scared they wouldn't be supportive, because I know they would have been supportive, but just hearing it made a big difference of like, okay, I can do this. I have their, I don't want to say blessing, but like I have their, you know, validation. And that was a huge part, because I was so scared to tell them. Like, I did not know how I was going to tell them, because it's not something that we were trying for or expecting or wanting or anything. So I didn't do one of those cute like boxes or one of those cute things for them. They got a hysterically crying daughter on the phone saying I'm pregnant. And I think as much of a shock it was for everyone, it was also so exciting at the same time. So feeling excited with them made a huge difference in how I felt.
Yeah. And speaking of support and also not preparing, let's talk about baby daddy. Let's talk about your man / baby daddy. Are we going full boyfriend title? Like, are we
ever? Well, boyfriend, as soon as I found out, I was like, me and you, we're back together.
You're my boyfriend now, by the way. Okay, so your now boyfriend then is also your ex-boyfriend. Let's talk about this, because you were together for years and then you were like, no good, like blocked, all that typical relationship, modern day love story. But then the unblock happened. And then you were friendly, or maybe a little more than friendly, hence the situation that we're in right now. So now you're back together. Like you said, we're all in on this. And it happened in a very unexpected way. So break this down for us. Explain to us how you got from point A to now point Z, I would say.
We went through the whole alphabet here. Okay, so I had him blocked on everything since probably February. So in February, I blocked him phone number, Instagram, Facebook. I might have even blocked his Venmo. Like, I had him blocked on everything, TikTok. And he found out I was moving out of New York and back to Florida. And we had 10 days between the day he texted me and the day I was leaving. He texted my work phone. I don't know why I didn't block him on my work phone. I just didn't expect him to text me at all. So he texted me asking to see our dog before I left. And I remember getting that text and my stomach literally coming out of my ass and being like, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should let him see the dog. Do I tell him to come over when I'm not home to see him? So I ended up answering and saying, all I said was, how do you know I'm moving? Like, I wanted no part of this conversation. I just wanted to be kind of a bitch. So I answered, and we are neighbors. We live in the same neighborhood. We live about 7 houses apart. We live in a community where it's one way in, one way out. So I was getting home right after he texted me and he was pulling out. So he stopped his car in front of mine and I got out of my car. I was like, what's up? And he was like, so can I see Jameson? Can I not? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm going out tonight and you can stop by later to say goodbye to him. So I got drunk that night and I was like, come pick me up. So he picked me up from the bar and we ended up spending the whole night together. We went out for drinks. We had a great time. And I was like, wow, like I kind of miss having him in my life. So the next day I let him see Jameson. And from then on, he was very respectful and he was like, okay, I saw Jameson. Do you want me to leave you alone? You can reblock my number, whatever. And I was like, you know what? If you can be respectful and if we can be civil, I won't reblock you. You can see Jameson whenever you want before I leave. But once I leave, I'm gone. And then I had some of my stuff at his house in Pennsylvania because that's when we broke up. We stored everything at his dad's like extra house because they had a big garage. Anyway, I was like, I really want my juicer. I want my artwork. Can you take me to go get it? This was like 2 days after unblocking him. So we went up to get my stuff and I got pregnant that night. And I obviously had no idea. We were very careful, by the way. So I don't even know how this happened. So we left, came back, whatever. And he's like, do you want me to pack everything for you? I was like, sure. So he packed all of my stuff, did everything for me. And he knew I was going to be driving to Florida with the dog, the cat, all my stuff, the car, whatever. And he's like, do you want me to drive your stuff down for you and you can fly? I was like, you would really do that? You would drive the dog, the cat, my car, everything, and I could fly? He's like, 100%. So I said, all right, I'll take you up on that. I booked my flight. Everything was set in stone. And my mom was like, Allie, you are such an asshole. You are getting in the car with him. You are not flying. So I ended up driving down with him. And we just had like good conversation. Like, I noticed so much change in him, but regardless, I didn't want to be with him. Like, I didn't want a relationship. All I wanted was to be alone. So as helpful as he was, and as great as of a time I had with him, I just wanted to be alone. He stayed with me for a few days, helped me unpack, did everything. My boxes got delivered from the movers. And he said, do you want me to come down and unpack everything for you? And I said, sure. So he booked a flight to come down to unpack everything for me. And then he left. 2 days after he left, I took the pregnancy test and found out I was pregnant. I called him and he was just so calm, cool, and collected. He's like, all right, we'll figure this out. We got it. And he does not believe in abortion. He didn't even believe it was an option. He did not see it as anything that was even a possibility when I told him I was thinking of it. He's like, I will take the child. I will do everything. You don't have to be in the baby's life. Please don't do this. I'll take the kid. Knowing how bad he wanted it, it gave me so much reassurance because I know he's going to be the best dad. Even when I hated his guts and I talked shit about him and I had him blocked, I always said he'd be the best dad. So Yeah, the day I told them, I said, all right, we're back together. You're my boyfriend and we're going to get married. And I was like, you don't have a choice here. Like, we are now together. And he wanted to be back together anyway before any of this. So that is the chaos.
Yeah. I mean, listen, first of all, it's important to note that, like, they didn't have some, like, terrible, terrible relationship. They were young. And just like everybody else nowadays, it's like, listen, if we're not on the same page and if we're not going to work out, I want nothing to do with you and you're blocked. So it's not like he was the Grim Reaper, you know, he wasn't like the worst person in the world.
I blocked him because he posted another girl. That's why.
They had their differences. They were both moving on and she's like, I want you out of my life. And so, like, that was really that. Not to say that, like, you know, she thought they were ever going to get back together, but it's not like they were mortal enemies. It was just like, I want nothing to do with you because you're my ex and, like, I need to move on with my life. And, you know, what I also think is really important to note is that obviously you guys got pregnant quite quickly, but you didn't know. So without knowing that you were pregnant, he was already making the changes in him that you needed to see. He was already stepping up as the man that you always wanted him to be. He was treating you the way that you deserved to be treated. He was giving you mature respect and all, like, making gestures for you and doing things for you that when you were in a relationship, you wanted from him. So he was doing these things and finally showing you, like, okay. So I think the wheels were turning subconsciously, even when you were like, no, but we're just friends. You beforehand wanted nothing to do with him as a friend. And then when you start to see him, like, being the man that you always knew he had the potential to be, you're like, okay, I am open to being friends with you and whatnot. So he was already showing up in the way that you knew you wanted him to do always. So I think a lot of girls see pregnancies and even, like, engagement rings as a way to keep a man, trap a man, and change a man and get what they want from him. Like, they think, you know, this shitty boyfriend who doesn't treat me right, is always out with other girls and whatnot, if I get pregnant, he'll stop seeing other girls. He'll stop partying and he'll be with me. If I force him to, like, you know, get engaged, if I keep asking about engagement and marriage and then we do that, he'll stop cheating. He'll stop being this dick. No, instead they end up engaged in a shitty relationship, or they end up in a terrible marriage, or they end up having trouble with a deadbeat baby daddy because he wants nothing to do with her and doesn't want to be involved with her. But that's in a case where you really can't trust the man. It's almost just like, I want these things and I'm going to make you give me these things, whether you want it or not. But with him, he wanted these things with you and was showing you that he could be what you want before getting, like, before knowing that you were pregnant. So this was not like, oh, he's only stepping up now. It's not like, well, you got pregnant, so now he's being better. Now you got pregnant, so now he's the man that you want. So this is not some ploy that's like, it works, get knocked up and he'll be the man you want.
Yeah, it just happened to be, like, impeccable timing. Like, truly, this is God's timing and God's plan, because obviously it could have gone better, but it couldn't have gone better for the circumstances, because there was not one moment during the unblocking to finding out I was pregnant where I doubted the changes he made when we were not together. It was like a constant thing that he did for himself. He didn't change for me. In both of our minds, we were never getting back together. We were never going to be anything. We went on our separate paths and our separate journeys, and he made the changes for himself. Like, he truly went and did him, and he is now the man I wanted him to be. Without me being like, hey, you need to do X, Y, and Z to keep me, he did it for him. And I think that's the only way a man will ever truly change, is if he wants to change, if he wants to do it. And I think this would be a very different situation if we didn't split and he didn't change. If he came back to me and wanted to be friends the way our relationship was, we wouldn't be friends. We would have never been in this position. And if we happened to be, we would be co-parenting. He was never horrible. He was never this monster, but we didn't work together. We were not a team. And now it's like, it's different. It's different because I think we both changed a lot.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you were together for what, 4 years? Yeah. So you were really young when you started being together. You broke up for a decent amount of time that a lot of things change in that time. So, I mean, you started dating at what, 20 years old, and then now you're 25 years old. Like, it's, I would say for myself, who I was at 20 and 21 was absolutely not who I was at 25. That those seasons of your life are just so different that it is believable that people are not who they want to be when they're, you know, in their younger 20s versus when they're in their mid 20s. I would say that's pretty fair to say that, you know, people do make those changes, and I think it's normal.
Right. And when we both started dating, I mean, he was in the military, I was in college, like both of those things are so revolved around partying. Like, it's crazy. We both came together when we were both drinking a lot. And that is something that we bonded over. There was just changes that needed to be made on both ends. And we both needed to go figure out what we wanted as individuals. Because if you want different things in life, if you want to live different lifestyles, you're not compatible. And it's not going to work. It's never going to work. So it's just something we both needed to figure out on our own. And now we happen to like really want the same things. And that is why it's going to work now when it didn't before.
Yeah. And it, exactly what you said, it's like God's timing and whatnot. I want to talk about the actual pregnancy, because you're basically at 11 weeks, basically through your first trimester. How has this time been for you?
Horrible. Like, I, like, obviously mentally tough, but I have been so nauseous, so turned off by food, sleeping. There was, I think, from week 7 to 9, I feel like it was longer than that, maybe 7 to 10, all I did was sleep. I could only eat like ice pops and bread, and the smell of everything would make me so sick. And I was just like, I don't know how people do this. Like, why does no one talk about how miserable it is? And maybe people do, and I just don't pay attention, but it was really hard. Like, I couldn't work. I really could not even look at my phone because I was sleeping 12 hours a day. And then also through the night. So I was awake for maybe 2 to 3 hours out of the whole day. And during that time, I was so nauseous, I couldn't even sit up. It was pretty miserable. Starting like 3 days ago, I feel really good. I have way more energy. I would not be able to sit and do this a week ago because I would probably either fall asleep or throw up. So it's much better now. I am able to eat like actual meals. I finally started wanting like steak. I have not had chicken or fish or anything in months because I just couldn't even stand the smell of it. But other than that, I mean,
other than all of that terrible stuff I just said, it's been great.
Yeah, I can't even say it's been great. Like, I won't even lie. Like, it wasn't great. I feel good now. I've never woken up in the middle of the night to pee before. I wake up every single night to pee in the middle of the night. I'm like, is this how it's going to be? It's training me to wake up for the baby in the middle of the night.
That's actually crazy, because I would think that you would wake up in the middle of the night when the baby is heavy and light, like lowering like onto your like bladder, but it's literally the tiniest little thing. So I can't even imagine like how it's actually pushing on your bladder like that.
I have no idea, but I can feel like it feels like I have butterflies. Like when I got the sonogram, the baby moves like a jumping bean. It is the most active thing I've ever seen. So I can randomly get like butterflies. I'm like, oh, there's baby.
Oh, okay. So your first trimester-ish, a little bit less maybe, was hard. But I will say, you did text me the other day being like, I literally feel like a new person. So I think that you're at least giving hope to people that are in that terrible first, you know, phase, that it gets better. Then it just feels like butterflies after that.
It just feels like, I don't know, it feels so strange, but I've never been so happy to be able to like get ready and get dressed. This is my first time. It looks like I'm wearing a t-shirt. I have a dress on too. This is my first time putting clothes on since May. Like, literally.
Makeup.
Yeah. And makeup, I haven't worn any makeup. I haven't done my hair. My mom was like, you really need to get yourself together. Like you cannot do this. You're going to feel so much better once you look better.
it is true though. Even just like in life in general, like you feel better when you look better. And I will also say, like, if when I'm pregnant, I'm going to sleep all day, I'm definitely down, because I do that now. Being awake for 2 hours a day is probably my dream life. I'm down for that. But aside from the physicalness, my last question for you is mentally, how are you feeling? Where are you at today? How does this whole experience like feel? Has it really like sunk in yet?
Kind of, but also kind of not. I think now that I'm showing a little, like I feel, that's a huge mental struggle for me actually. Mentally, I have spent so much time getting in really good shape and like losing weight and being really fit that watching my body change is actually really hard. And I know a lot of people say it's beautiful and you're growing a child. Like my mom gets mad at me every time I say I feel so fat, but it's really strange to watch yourself grow and you can't stop it. Like you can't control it. There's nothing you can do. And it's just a really weird mental shift that I have to make. Other than that, I am excited. I am feeling really good and feeling really supported by like every single person that knows. I mean, this, you're going to be listening to this 2 days after I announce to everyone. Like no one knows right now as we're recording this. So I'm actually really terrified to announce it. And I'm just literally announcing it and turning my phone off and disappearing for the weekend.
Why do you feel so like scared to announce it? Is it like a judgment thing?
Yeah, I think it's judgment. I think it's guilt at the same time. Like I'm still not fully past the guilt of, I don't know. I don't have a weird thing about sharing good news, but when it comes to such a sensitive topic, I just feel, I've never had to do this before. I've never had to share good news in an area that someone or lots of people are like so sad about. So
do you feel like you have, I don't want to say this like in a way to offend you whatsoever, but do you feel like you have a little bit of imposter syndrome? Like this is like, I'm not good enough for this or something like that.
Yeah. Like I think a lot of people look at me like a crazy, even though I don't really post like my craziness online too much, a lot of people look at me like I'm this young, immature, kind of just going with the wind. I've never shown any sort of stability in my life. I've never actually had stability in my life ever. So I think that is a huge part of feeling guilty, is like, how am I going to somehow find stability in my life for this child? And it's a huge shift I have to make. And I think a lot of people are gonna be like, how are you gonna do it? Like, how are you going to make this work when you can't even stay in one place for 3 months? So.
Yeah, I mean, you do move pretty much every season. She has a summer, winter, spring, fall apartment. No, I'm just kidding, but she does move a lot. But you know what? I think stability is more mental than it is physical, because you have mentally you're locked into this now. And I feel like because you could be nervous all you want, but because your mindset has completely decided, like, this is the life I'm choosing, that in itself is already a huge journey, because there are people who are at your place right now, 11 weeks going on 12 weeks, that still don't even know what they're going to do. So the fact that you are already like locked in, you're aware and you know what you're doing, like that in itself is a huge thing. Aside from that, you have more stability than maybe people online think, because online people see that you move a lot and you're so free spirited. But for the people who know you like me, I know that you have an amazing support system, your parents, your siblings, like your brother, your family in general, your boyfriend. I mean, he's a lifer, like he's in it. He has an amazing family. His family is just as excited. So you already have like your family and the in-law family that's in it to win it with this. And then of course, on top of that, you have your friends. And like, I mean, me, I feel like this is also my child.
Like, I'm literally, the first thing you said was like, all right, let's raise this baby.
Like, we're gonna raise this baby. Like, we're doing this. Like, I kept saying we, because I never want you to feel like this is a you thing. I want you to know, like, because at that time you and him weren't together. And I'm like, I don't know what he's gonna do. I don't know if he's gonna turn around and be like, I'm not doing this with you. So I'm like, I'll do it. I'll step up to the plate. Like, I got this. So, you know, like, you do have friends who are right alongside you. And so I think you have more stability than you credit yourself for, and then people on social media would know. But you know what? These people don't know you. They don't know your life. So I understand the imposter syndrome a little bit, which is why I thought maybe that's how you're feeling. But for the most part, I think, like, you know, you're good. This is going to be so much better than anybody will understand.
I mean, I'm so thankful for the support system I have, because it really is crazy. Every single one of my best friends, his family's so excited. His grandma's reaction was just so cute. And she's like, oh, I'm going to be a great grandma. Like, everyone is truly so excited that it makes it more exciting, and it makes me feel more confident in my ability. Like, I've heard it takes a village, and I truly do have a village. Like, I have the best people in my life, and I'm so thankful for it, because I know I would not be feeling this confident and this excited if it wasn't for every single person that knows already, because not one person wasn't excited for me once I told them I'm excited.
Yeah, no, as soon as you said, like, I'm ready, I'm like, me too. I'm also ready.
Every day you're like, so are you moving back? Are you moving back? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, no, I was nervous, because knowing you, you scare me. I'm like, this bitch is going to stay in Tampa, and she's going to do this by herself. She's going to make it so hard on herself. Like, you really were scaring me. I was texting you legit every day. Like, so did you break your lease yet? So did you get an apartment yet? Like, what are you doing? And maybe that's annoying, but honestly, deep down, I was like actually scared that you were going to stay in Tampa. Cause I'm like, there's no way. Like, no one's there. Stop staying there. Come back.
Yeah, there was a minute where I was like, okay, I'm going to go back to my old apartment downtown, and I'm going to live with a doorman, and I'm going to be okay, and I can do this. And I woke up, I was like, I texted my boyfriend and I said, we are going to New York. We are staying in New York, and we're going to have family. And he's like, what happened to Tampa? I'm like, it's not in the question. I'm coming home. Because he was living in New York. Like, he wasn't even in Tampa. So yeah. I woke up, I said, going home. That's it. Broke my lease that day.
But I know that you're impulsive, and I know that you're free spirited, and, you know, you go with the wind. But I also think when you set your mind to something, you do it and you accomplish it. And I think that's it. Like, look, you moved back in a matter of 2 weeks, and, you know, you're already making huge changes. And so, yeah, I think you are capable of literally anything that you set your mind to. So I'm excited. I know you're excited. I'm also now excited for people to know and it to be out. It was like our little secret.
The biggest secret I've ever kept.
Yeah. And let me just say, because you know what? I'm obviously going to comment and I'm going to post and all your stuff, but I cannot stand the girls who comment being like, the hardest secret I've ever had to keep. Like, you're so annoying. The hardest secret, like, when they make this whole thing about them on social media, I honestly get infuriated.
I just saw it on someone's post, I think yesterday. And the girl was like, oh my God, finally the world knows. I'm like, I'm glad you knew. Now someone else knows too, sister.
I know. I'm like thinking about how I'm going to post it, because it's like, obviously I know, duh. But at the same time, I get so cringe when people do that.
The people you've been lying to for me being like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know.
Oh yeah. That's another thing. If you're listening to this and asking about Allie's whereabouts, just, I've been lying to you, because everyone's like, Allie's moving again. Allie is back with her man. Like, I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
She's crazy, man.
Yeah, that Allie. So unstable, isn't she? Well, Allie, the girls are going to want to follow you on your pregnancy and new mama journey. So where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Alexandra Rose Munch, no space, no caps, just all one word. And then I'll probably share a lot on TikTok, just Alexandra Rose on there. and it's going to be a journey. So buckle up with me.
I'm excited. I am very excited. Thank you so much for giving me the honor of sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.